Well, good morning, Grace Church. It is so good to see everybody here today. Look at somebody sitting nearby. Tell them, welcome to the house of the Lord. So good to see all of you here on campus. We are glad you've chosen to worship with us today. Those joining on Facebook Live and live stream, welcome. Glad you've chosen to make this service a part of your day. We know it'll be a blessing to you. Well, I'm just gonna take a quick poll and gauge the faith in the room today. How many thinks it's gonna snow this week? I have not seen so great a faith. No, not in all of Israel. I tell you, last I checked, 80%. I think that's pretty good odds. So we shall see. Growing up in South Louisiana, born and raised, I will tell you, I have been disappointed many times before, but it is looking like a pretty good possibility, and I share your faith in that matter. So with that in mind, Tuesday morning prayer will be dismissed due to the pending inclement weather, very likely. So we will dismiss Tuesday morning prayer for that reason. But gentlemen, do remember prayer this coming Saturday in the A Center, 9 o'clock. We're beginning again this year, men's prayer, the last Saturday of the month. That will be this Saturday at 9 o'clock. So put that on your calendar, and let's remember that, men, and come and pray. Stand with me this morning. We're getting ready to worship the Lord. But before we do, I have a question for you. Tell your neighbor, put your thinking cap on. My question is this: can you worship the Lord by yourself? Yeah, that's a pretty easy question. That was not a trick question. You can. You can worship the Lord by yourself. In fact, you probably do. I do. Out walking the dogs or driving down the road in my time of prayer, I like to praise the Lord even by myself. The old Jewish rabbis say that just breathing is an act of worshiping the Lord. They say that God gave us the breath in our lungs, so when we breathe, that's an act of worship. I like that idea. But the psalmist said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In other words, as great as it is to worship God by yourself, it's even better to come together with a sole, singular purpose, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus in one mind and one accord. So if that's your aim today, if that's why you've come, can you clap your hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, and let's worship God together today, Grace Church.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your light. And there is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us.
He will revive. be a mountain, he can. He's the God of the break.
In this place today, hallelujah.
can do it again.
Shut the mouth of the lion, sweep the prison doors open, there's a shout from the silence, he can do it again. Shut the mouth of the lion, sweep the prison doors open, there's a shout from the silence, he can do it again. We speak power, authority over every enemy. We need a miracle, we need a miracle, we're ready. Spirit move, like a river blood is cool. We need a miracle, we need a miracle. Speak power, authority over every enemy. We need a miracle, we need a miracle, we're ready. Spirit move, like a river blood is cool. We need a miracle, we need a
I
you can just let your hands of worship.
How much more
God, you can put your trust in.
You go before me. You write the story. So how much more sacred I be?
You go before me.
You go before me. You write the story. So how much more sacred I be?
Him, everybody, all across the building, can we worship the Lord for a moment? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank the Lord! Thank the Lord! I have to be honest and transparent this morning. I think we all agree that sometimes life can throw things at you, people. Can throw things at you, circumstances, events can throw things at you. It makes it very challenging sometimes to trust in God. Finances can sometimes make it hard to trust in God. The words of the old hymn struck me this morning when the writer said, "Oh, for grace to trust Him more." I think sometimes we deal and wrestle with quantities in Scripture. Do you have enough faith? Do you love God with all your heart? It's a quantity thing. And I find it interesting that trust comes under that banner as well. I think it would serve all of us well today to somehow reach deep down on the inside. Who knows what tomorrow holds? Who knows what we're dealing with from yesterday? But to reach down deep inside and say, God, I'm still going to trust. I'm still going to trust. I'm going to keep my feet flat on the Word of God. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be changed. I thought about the psalmist when he said to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You have a constant source of sustenance and nutrient from the water. You're connected. You have that connection with literally what brings you your life. But the fallacy of being a tree planted by the water is when winds come and storms come, you can't move and go somewhere else. You have to stay right there. Wise was the person, I believe, who said, grow where you're planted. That no matter what comes or what goes, our trust in God can sustain us as long as we stay connected with Him. So my prayer today, God, is help me to trust You more. Give me grace to trust You more. There's a wonderful spirit of the Lord in the building today. Thank you, praise team, for taking us to the throne of God today. Can we clap our hands to Jesus? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. As you return to your seats, remain standing. I know you've been standing for a long time, but as somebody said one time, you'll enjoy it when you get to sit down. We want to welcome everybody here today. Thank you for coming. all of our guests here today, welcome. We're so glad you're here. And those of you joining us on Facebook Live, live stream has already been mentioned. We're so glad to have you a part of Grace Church today as well. We're so thankful today to have with us Brother and Sister Steve Cannon. Brother, I might as well say it this way. We had Brother and Sister Weber, our district superintendent, here one time, and I said, we're so glad to have our superintendent here today with us and her husband. Is that applicable, Sister Cannon, or she's really the executive director, and we're glad to have her husband here today? We love Brother and Sister Cannon. They've been with us now, speaking for us for the past several years. We met them through beginner and junior Bible quizzing. And they're amazing people and have a strong love and passion for the kingdom of God, more specifically, children's ministries. He, in all seriousness, is the executive children's ministry director and has done a tremendous job. It's probably a ministry we don't hear enough about. We hear about youth ministry, our students. We do that here. We herald them, and we're so thankful for our students here today, our junior high school, college age. But those younger in age, we probably don't hear as much about them and their exploits for Jesus as we should. And I'm thankful that Grace Church has a strong group of children under the age of 12, 11, that are Holy Ghost filled, Jesus' name baptized, and they love God. They worship God right up here with all of our students. They sit with them and can't wait till they turn, at least here at Grace Church, when they turn 11 and can be a part of the student ministries and whatnot that we do. But I believe relationship with Jesus starts best in a person's life when it starts as a child. You get to learn Jesus as a child. You get to know him as a child. And it does something to your mind and heart like nothing else does. I'm thankful for people like the Cannons who are willing to travel around our country, around the world, building, establishing, helping, assisting any way they can with churches, with children's ministry. I love people. I respect people who will engage this opportunity and then do it with all of their might. He's done some amazing things. They have done some amazing things with the children's ministry of the United Pentecostal Church, and we applaud them. We applaud them. It's an honor to have them today. Can we welcome Brother Steve Cannon as he comes to speak to us today?
Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is good. And you may be seated. I'm so glad they invited my wife to come so I could come and speak for her. Amen. To be a part of the kingdom of God and the work of God. Amen. It is a privilege and an honor to be at Grace Church. Amen. And it's central to come and worship with you on this Sunday morning. This is a unique time in our life. The first two weekends that we were scheduled to preach, it snowed us and iced us out in St. Louis. So we had 12.9 inches of snow, and so if y'all worried about 3 to 5, it ain't nothing to it. So I know it may be something new for you, but for us, we've already been through the, been through the ice and the storm, and so it's a great joy to be here. We give honor to Pastor Glenn Murphy for the opportunity to be here. First Lady Sister Paula Murphy, thank you so much for the privilege of being with you on this Sunday morning. Amen. Also, you have a lady by the name of Sheila Landry that is the angel lady, gift box lady, that always surprises us with stuff we've never seen before in our lives. And so we always want to come back to Central to find out what in the world's going on. You know, where can you find the most innovative ideas in the world? And so it's an honor to be here. Of course, Joseph and Noah, my friends growing up, through junior Bible quizzing, I saw these boys quiz and thought how great they're going to be in their life. And quizzing does make a big, big difference in the future. And, of course, Casey and Chris are wrestling with those guys along the way. I do honor my wife. We've been married 46 years, 6 months, and 26 days today. So we're trying to keep the love flowing if it's working. We actually have a anniversary every month. Every 23rd is our anniversary, and next week we'll have another. So I'll be married 46 years and 7 months. So it's kind of easy to keep up with if I can get my math straight. I saw something the other day. It said, what do you call a child that only reads 2 books a year? You call that a slow child. What do you call an adult that reads 2 books a year? You call them average. Most of the people in the average books read by American adults is less than 2 books a year. I guess we get to the place where we feel like, you know, hey, we're glad to get out of school. Well, something happened to me this year. I knew I couldn't catch Brother Bernard. He read 121 books. But I needed 3 more books in the last 2 days of this year to reach 100. And I read those 3 books, and I reached 100 for the first time in my life. I've read 100 books in 1 year. So I just want to tell you that you never get so smart that you don't need to still grow. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of children's ministry. When we came to St. Louis, when we were elected in 2011, my wife and I looked at us like the deer in the headlights. What have we just done? I mean, we've been pastoring a church for 23 years. We just bought 11.15 acres right on the interstate to build a new church. And now UPCI asked us to come to headquarters. So we did, and we stepped out by faith. And God has been very good to us because we stepped out by faith. So in the last 13 years that we've served at headquarters, we've seen in the excess of 20,000 children filled with the Holy Ghost around the world. These were just the ones that signed our books. There were others that were filled. And then in the last 4 or 5 years, we have launched into reaching global missions and reaching children around the world. So next month, we'll be actually have one of our children's evangelists going to Ethiopia with a crew. And it's an exciting point. Maybe I may mention that in just a little while. But one of the things I wanted to start out my year with, I wanted to make sure that I had no grudges or anger at anybody in the world. And so I asked God, give me a clean heart, Lord, if I got anything against somebody. And I know everybody in this room, probably somebody has mistreated you or did you wrong. And so usually when those kind of people do that to me, I put them on my prayer list. And I confess to you, when I pray for them a while, it don't feel good. And I don't really want to do it, but I do it anyhow. But after a few months or a year, and sometimes 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years, you know, you say it, and all of a sudden you say, wow, I feel forgiven. I've forgiven them of all the things that happened. So I don't know how you want to start your year off. That's how I started mine off. I want to make sure I have nothing against anybody. And that if I've done anybody wrong, I certainly want to make sure I repent of those things. So if you have your Bible, stand with me. I'll share a scripture with you today. And everything that I do today is under the authority of your pastor. I've already done something. I'm doing something today that I've never done in the 48 years of my ministry. And so in a little while, you'll be looking at me kind of funny like, wow, where did that come from? And I hope it'll all work together for the glory of God. I want to give honor to the praise singers. Every song they sang is a part of my message today. So I feel very confident that God has spoken to me to speak to you to affect your future. In the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 26, notice we see here that God did not speak to Philip, but the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth from Jerusalem unto Gaza. We've heard a lot about Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Candace had sent the Ethiopian eunuch to find out, what about the God of Israel? We want to know more about them. They're being prospered in every way. Israel is a blessed, blessed nation. Find out so Ethiopia can be blessed because of the knowledge of God. I'd like to preach to you on this subject, good, better, And it should be best, but I changed it to next. Good, better, next. Pastor, would you pray and ask God's blessing?
Father, we love you today. We're thankful for the amazing presence of the Lord that we feel here right now. We're thankful for your guidance. We pray, God, that you will bless the man of God today. Bless Brother Cannon. Anoint him. Use him literally as your mouth. Let him speak your words. Let our hearts be blessed and challenged. We pray, God, that lives are encouraged, rejuvenated. I pray for restoration and healing today. Have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Everybody clap your hands and say hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to be a miracle today. You may be seated. I'd like to share with you about Philip the evangelist, who was mightily used by God in three phases. And so each phase I'll share a little bit about how God used him in his ministry. Philip was one of the 12 apostles, and according to the New Testament, later traditions tells us that he preached in Greece, Syria, and Asia Minor. All three gospels, synoptic gospels in the book of Acts, list Philip as one of the apostles. But he is always listed in fifth place. Now, Joseph and Noah, you never like to live in fifth place. You always wanted first place, and I know that for sure. He is described as a disciple from Bethesda, an evangelist that connects him with Andrew and Peter, who were also from the same town. Of the four Gospels, Philip figures prominently in the book of John. And the story I like about Philip is he's always asking questions that we may think are dumb, but they are very important. When the multitude was there and we were saying, Jesus, these people need some food. And Philip comes up with the bright words, Lord, if we had 200 pence, it wouldn't be enough to feed these folks. And it was just as if Jesus never heard it. He just says, won't you go out there and see if you can find somebody who's got something to eat? You know the story. They went to the grandmas. They didn't have nothing. They went to the grandpas. They had nothing. Went to the men and the women. Guess what? Zero. One little kid had five loaves and two fishes. And whatever Philip had to do to talk him out of that lunch, I don't know. But maybe he told him, he said, you know, if you'll give this lunch to the master, he'll give back 12 times what you have given. I don't know what he really said, but it was a dumb question for Philip to challenge the Messiah. But guess what? Jesus came through. He took the bread and multiplied it. He took the fishes and they multiplied it. After it was all over, there was 12 barrels of fragments left. Now, I'm just thinking outside the box. If it's okay, there's nothing in the scripture. But I think Philip got a big barrel full of all the scraps and brought it to that boy and said, look what you get when you trade in a little for a God who can give you a lot. Amen. How many is glad that when we turn in a little bit of our praise, we turn in a little bit of our worship, God's got a lot. Now you may say, well, God ought to be happy I showed up today. No, no, no. I'm here. All I got's a little. But I promise you I'm going to give everything I've got because he's worthy. I don't know what he's going to give me in pack, but I'm going to give him what I got. And then, of course, during the Last Supper, the great Philip, asked the question, Lord, you've been talking about the Father. Show us the Father. And, of course, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. What a question to ask. Philip didn't even really know who he was, but, ladies and gentlemen, his question revealed what God had for his life. Now, I want to show, after this took place, God had been good to Philip. He went down to Samaria, and he started preaching. Everybody say these were heathen nations. These were a mixed nation, Jews and Gentiles mixed. Up until this time, nobody has stepped out to go to reach a people that was outside of the Jewish realm. And so when Philip goes and preaches in Samaria, he's shocked. They all want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, the devils rose up against him, and Philip cast the devils out and spoke to demons. And all of a sudden, Philip's realizing, man, this is good. God is good to us. Anybody can say God is good to us?
He saw them baptized and he saw demons shaken. Amen. Even somebody wanted to buy that power and that authority that Philip had at that moment. But notice there was one thing that was missing when God was doing some good things through Philip, and that was that nobody got the Holy Ghost. How many believes that every service somebody ought to get the Holy Ghost? Now, it's good for you to be here today. Thank you for coming. Let me tell you what's a little better. When Peter heard about nobody getting the Holy Ghost yet, he knew they can't get it because Peter's got the keys. He's got the keys to the kingdom. It cannot be open to the Samaritans until he shows up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what you think about a personality a lot, but Jesus said Peter, he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Every kingdom that needed to be opened was Simon Peter had to open it. And at this moment when Simon Peter came down and preached, guess what started happening? The Holy Ghost fell. Everybody started receiving the presence of God. Would anybody say that's better? It was good that they were being baptized, but it's better when folks get the Holy Ghost because you get a chance to carry His Spirit home with you. So while Philip is having a good time saying, man, God has been really good, all of a sudden he says, you know, he's been better now that Peter showed up. And I don't know what really happened after this. I cannot explain it all to you other than probably Philip probably asked another dumb question. Lord, this is good. This is better. I just wonder where best is. That's a wrong question to ask God. First of all, I want you to know I'm excited about this church because you're not satisfied with just being good. You're not satisfied with just being better. Every time I've come, you put your best on the platform. You put your best musicians. You had your best worshipers here. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to work to the best part of your life, you're going to have to do it every weekend. It's got to keep happening over and over again if you want to be the best. Because if you are the best, somebody's going to challenge you one day and take your spot. But I want to tell you, there is another move that's beyond the best, and that is God. What do you want next out of my life? So at that moment, I'm sure Philip asked a really dumb question. That's when the Lord said, Philip, I want you to rise, and I want you to go towards, arise and go towards the south that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. Without any instructions, he got up and he walked for 3 days to find this location on the Gaza Strip area there. And when he was there, he was sitting there working on what's going to happen next. God sent me here, and I want to know what's going to happen next. And so he stood there and he waited and he patiently waited and he wondered what's going to happen. In the meantime, the Ethiopian eunuch is in Jerusalem, and he's trying to find a church to go to, and he's trying to find more about God, but because he's a eunuch, he has to stay outside of the gate. And so he can never get inside and look and see what is taking place. He can never go in where the glory of God is being poured out. He can never get inside of there. And so on his way back from Jerusalem, he's worried. Oh, no, I wanted to find the God of Israel. I wanted to find out more about the kingdom of God. And I just couldn't find it, so I walked out lonely and lost. But little did the Ethiopian eunuch know, I got you covered, boy. I took a guy out of a red hot revival. He's waiting on you. Yep. Now, I know we know that he was reading Isaiah 53. Now, all of our great Bible scholars are here and they can know that. But I believe God spoke to me a few weeks ago and said, I want to show you what happened before Isaiah 53. If you look in Isaiah chapter 56, and we're going to read this scripture, and then we're going to see what's going to happen after that. Isaiah 56, verse 3 through 5, and it says, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from my people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree, For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and keep the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give mine house within my walls and a place and a name better than the sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. He read this before he got there. Why do you know? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He had already been told, you're not a part of this. You can be a part of that. I want to tell somebody who walked in this place, you may not wonder if you fit in this church or not. God's got a place for you. Somebody else may say, you'll never be a part of that church. Oh, no. He'll make you a son. He'll make you a daughter. He'll bring you in. I have never read that scripture before. Or maybe I've read it, but I've never thought about it. I was reading a book, and I was studying on this sermon. I guess for the last 4 or 5 months ago, I've been working on it. This is my first time to ever preach in a church. Y'all, please forgive me if I mess up, all right? Amen. But when I saw this scripture, it was like God had already spoke to the eunuch. I got you covered. They wouldn't let you in the church in Jerusalem, but hang in there. I'll bring the church to you. It was at this moment, I know we can go a little further, and I know we can do that, but at this moment, all kind of things are swirling around the Ethiopian eunuch's mind. I couldn't find God in Jerusalem. I couldn't find God around religion. I couldn't find God there, but who is this guy that was wounded? Who is this guy that was bruised? Who is this guy that was there that did pay this price for me? I want to know more about him. And as he began to read Isaiah chapter 53, here is Philip waiting beside the road. And he hears him reading it, and he starts walking beside him. And he asks the question, do you understand what thou readest? And at that moment, ladies and gentlemen, the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand it unless somebody help me out? And it was there that Philip climbed up in the chariot. He started preaching the word of God to them. He started telling him about water baptism. Well, how do you know? Because he said, wait a minute, hold on. There's water. They're in the Gaza desert. There is desert there, but guess what God provides? A swimming pool in the middle of in the desert. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And we know the story as well as anything. He said, if you believe with all of your heart. Amen. And when he explained this scripture, he told him, this scripture is talking about Jesus. He's the one that died for your sins. He's the one that paid the price for your sins. And if you'll fully repent and you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll get the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands and say, I believe that. What's so interesting is Philip found out God was good. He was better, but instead of the best, he chose the next. I just wonder today in this meeting, in this service today, what God has for you next. We know the story. He was baptized. Philip would only baptize him in the name of Jesus because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And he baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. And when the Ethiopian eunuch came up, Philip was translated some 8 miles away somewhere else. You're talking about somebody moving through the air at the speed of sound. So the Ethiopian eunuch started looking around and wondered, whoa, where did he go? He probably swam around the water a little bit trying to find out where Philip was. But ladies and gentlemen, this was the next in Philip's ministry. I thank God for what you are doing locally. Everybody ought to be doing something. I thank God for what we are doing in our neighborhoods and our families. But ladies and gentlemen, there may be somebody in this audience today that God is ready to use you to reach a nation, to reach a world where nobody else has been before. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. I'm fixing to show you a video of Elvis. Would it be all right? I know this is probably not proper and common in the normal terms, but everybody say today is going to be an abnormal day. It's going to be an unusual day. There was a time, anybody ever heard of Elvis Presley before? Wave your hands. Anybody never heard of Elvis? Wave your hands. If Thank God. Oh, man, you're going to hear him today, so you won't be able to raise your hands after this. It's all over. Elvis Presley got involved with a Pentecostal church in Tennessee called Holiness Hills. And he got to hanging around there, and he got to feeling the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost came upon him. Now, I don't know how you feel here in Central. This is how I feel, that the Holy Ghost ever comes upon you, he will never leave you alone. You may mess up. You may fall into sin. But he's always somewhere close by. Is this okay, Pastor? Now, I'm not saying you're going to be saved when you're out there sinning and doing things that are wrong. But I also want you to know he will never leave you nor forsake you. And the only thing that I've ever read that he won't ever come after you is because if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and if you've never had the Holy Ghost, it's hard for you to blaspheme against that. It's kind of like eating etouffee. If you've never tasted it, don't be griping and complaining against it, all right? If you've griped and complained against eating crawfish and you never had any, you're the one that's messing up. But at this moment, ladies and gentlemen, in this song that I'm about to sing, his manager had asked him, said, why don't you sing a Christmas song? It was 1968. How many in here was born before 1968 or after 1968? How about that? All these folks born after 1968, so that you would be 57 years or less. Amen. And so, his manager said, I want you to sing a song because Elvis was doing a comeback in 1968. And so he told his manager, I will not sing a Christmas song. And him and his manager bumped heads. Elvis was good at doing that. But the guy that had been working with him, when it was a stage manager, he and Elvis had been talking, and they were so concerned with their world. Some things had happened that had caused Elvis to worry about the next day. Martin Luther King was killed. The Saigon War was taking place. And Nixon was doing all kind of crazy stuff at the presidential area. All these things were going on, and Elvis was talking to his stage manager. Can you sing me a song? Can you write me a song that can address the problems of our world out there? Can you do it? His station manager says, yes, I'll do it for you, and you'll sing it tomorrow. He wrote the words to this song, If I Can Dream. And we're about to play it. Thank you, media. But let me give the other final details of it. When he wrote the song and Elvis memorized the verses and every part of the song, when they got ready to sing the song and started playing, all of a sudden as he sang this song, If I Can Dream, the musicians would start crying. They'd start weeping and they said, we can't finish this song. The trumpeters and the trombones couldn't finish it up. And so they tried several times to do this song and they never could do it because none of the musicians were able to play with excitement as much as Elvis was putting out, like, this is a song for the country. And so after a while, they all gave up and they left and they said, we're done. We're going to bed. But the camera people knew Elvis is not going to sleep until he learns to sing that song. And this is a song that he sang there with no music, no background. What you see on the video was exactly what the camera recorded. If you don't mind, go ahead and play it. It's called If I Can Dream. It's 3 minutes.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere.
Somewhere there's
got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why, oh why can my dream come true? Oh why? Must be peace and understanding
somewhere,
sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on, oh, every one, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear?
Thank you. Good night.
Well, let's give it up for Elvis, all right? What was Elvis's thing? He said, if I can dream. In the midst of our world of trouble and situations that's taking place. Now, I know you saw it and there was music behind it, but when he recorded it, there was no music. He pledged after that song, I will never sing this song live, and he never did. This song sold over 800,000 copies in 1968. What it was, for a few times in Elvis's life, he wanted to straighten out all the problems of the world, but he could not do it. But he said, if I can dream, I can make it happen. I just wonder, I came to Central to find out, is there any dreamers in Central Church? Is there anybody believing that, hey, I got to confess to you, there are countries that are falling apart. There is rebellion and all kind of stuff going on. Tomorrow is the presidential inauguration. People are protesting against that. Amen. I want my brothers to walk hand in hand. How about you? I don't want there to be no division between any culture or creed or anybody that's there. Amen. I'm going to get this big gentleman. Come on up here, bro, if you don't mind. Yes, sir. Come on up. Amen, amen. I want us as a church to realize there are no different colors in this church. We are all one blood. We're all bought by the blood of Christ. His blood flows as fresh as mine. I want to dream to do more than we've ever done before. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands. Let's lift our hands. Let's pray right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. When I read this scripture, I believe the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said that in 2025, there's going to be some folks that can dream outside of the box. Yes, I want to reach my neighbor. Yes, I want to reach somebody else. But I want to reach a nation outside of there and let them know that they can become part of the kingdom and they can be sons and daughters while they are out there. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to know about the bad news is that the past was in your hands. The good news is that the future's in your hands. I want to make sure that I believe with all of my heart that God has a plan to reach every nation, every tongue, every generation, and he's got that on his heart today. Do you believe that? Clap your hands to the Lord. I believe that if we could dream, what could happen? What is the next step for God for in our lives? I don't know how you feel in your life. I want to make sure that I have a dream for greater things for God. Not for more money for me, not for more possessions. I want to see what God has next in my life. Amen. To have these things, somehow you got to believe it. Everybody say, I believe it. Somehow you got to say, I dream it. And then last but not least, I think we need to speak it. Somebody say, I need to speak it. Anybody want to see any more miracles in your church? Anybody want to see any supernatural things in your church? Anybody want to see the healings take place every time you come to church? You got to start dreaming like that.
God, I want you to anoint this church with healing signs and wonders and miracles, God. I want to move to that next status like never and ever before. There was a 12-year-old boy whose father was a pastor. And the pastor got a little concerned about his son because he kept hearing his son pray late at night. And he was making all kind of noise and all kind of racket. And so he bypassed it for a few days. And then finally, he went up to ask, "Son, what are you praying for?" And he said, "Dad, God put a country on my life, and I'm praying for that country." And the dad asked the boy, "What country is it?" And he told him the country. I'm not allowed to tell the country, because the United Pentecostal Church has a great organization called Global Missions. There are 210 nations in the world. There are 200 nations that we've already reached, but there are 10 we've never reached. And so when the boy told his dad what nation he was praying for, he said, "I got to go see Brother Hunley, the Global Missions Director, and I got to make sure if he knows anything about this country." And he mentioned the country to Brother Hunley, and he asked him, he said, "Who's a missionary there?" He said, "There is no missionary there. Nobody's ever gone to that country before. We can't get in that country. It's locked up tight." He said, "I'm praying that somebody would feel the call to go there." And the little boy's already figured out what kind of language it is. He's already studying that language. The age of 12. Ladies and gentlemen, can I let you know, Jesus is coming soon. There will be no nation left behind. Somebody's going to go. And when the pastor looked at Brother Hunley, he said, "Hunley, our Global Missions Director, he said, I want to tell you about my son. He's been calling that nation in his prayers every night. He's not only just been praying, he's been travailing for that nation. He's been asking God, send a missionary." Amen. If I was in one of those 10 nations that didn't have the gospel, wouldn't you be praying for a missionary to come preach to me? I want you to come and preach and see what God can do. Let's all stand. The musicians are coming. Let's give God praise. How about it? Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming soon. I know God, if God's been good to you, wave your hand. He's been good to me. Hallelujah. If God's been better to you than you think he really should, wave your hand. I think all that is good. Hallelujah. I think we ought to give it our best every time we come. But is there anybody willing to go to that next level? Anybody willing to go to that next level? I want to commend Brother Hunley. There are the 10 nations that we don't have. They're already working on social media, sending them into that country. And they're telling things about how good God is and all these kind of things. And he said, our last social media was this question. Has anybody in this country had a dream about a missionary coming to your country? And they're sending out things like that, just putting the feelers out. Because if a country can dream, you can make it happen. I want to confess to you, if you are a dreamer, you will get talked about. Joseph was a dreamer. But he prophesied and he looked ahead to the front. He dreamed for supernatural things that's taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to know in Central, is there somebody who can dream in this building today that God wants to give 100 soul, 1,000 soul revival? Could it happen in Central? Woo! It'll only happen if you'll dream about it. God, I want to see every seat filled. I want to move some of our regular folks over to the back or somewhere along the way, and I want to make sure our visitors have room. Remember what the Ethiopian read when he came into the presence of Philip? God had already told him, "I got you covered. I'm going to make you a son or a daughter. The Ethiopian families can be saved without any question mark." Next month, we have one of our children's ministry directors going to Ethiopia. He's going with Charles Robinette and the team. And I met him this week, and he was so worried about the future. He says, "I've never done this before." I said, "I've done children's evangelism, but I've never gone to the foreign country like this." We prayed with him, and we felt like God spoke to us. And when he got through, I said, "You'll know when you get to Ethiopia if that's a country God's calling you to. So I want to let you know Jesus is coming soon. I know we need to reach our neighbors. Can you say amen? I know we need to reach our friends everywhere we go. But I just want you to know and give you this great encouragement that when you reach out to your neighbors and your friends and the lost, remember, God's going to go before you and take care of all the business. Because when Philip came forth, God sent him there and took care of all the business. And so all you got to do is witness and tell them about the goodness and the grace of God, and that God's ready to fill them with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Anybody want God working with you when you testify? Anybody want God working with you when the work of God is being fulfilled? Come on, lift up your hands. I want us to pray together, Lord. Send a mighty revival to this church, God. Send a supernatural anointing to this tabernacle, God. Send the glory of God, hallelujah, to them. Is there anything he can't do? Take it away, would you? Clap your hands to the Lord right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just need a few people as they sing, step out. Who'll be next? Who wants God to use you next? He came into this place to find some people. Come on, he's looking for you next. Step up, step to the front. You want the next miracle? Come on up to the front. Woo! Hallelujah. You want the next touch from God? Come on up to the front. Get as close as you can. Come on, boys and girls, get up close. Get close, get close, get close.
There's no weapon that has ever left a mark on you.
It's never left a mark
on you. There is no army.
There's no army that can stop you.
The power to conquer truth. You've always been with us.
Come on, I want you to lift your hands and tell God, I want to be next. Come on, reach over and pray with one another right now. Come on.
Show me one thing that's too hard.
Show me one thing that's too hard. He can do it.
He can part.
Yes, Lord.
He's the God of the breakthrough. Anything is possible. It's possible.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray for one another. Would you reach over and pray?
Kingdom.
Hallelujah. Let's ask God to do it.
That's advancing at the speed of